The reason we did the egg thing, and there was eggs of justice and eggs of injustice, is to remind us of what life is like. Sometimes you get justice, sometimes you get injustice, and you really don't know when it's coming, and you don't know which one is coming. And you know why that is? Part of the reason is because God has put people in authority here on planet Earth. He has set people up in positions of authority, and you know who He uses as those authorities? He uses humans. And you know what humans are real good at doing?
Messing up.
We're good at that. For example, some of you may see me as a spiritual authority over you, and I'm a human and I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Last week, I saw a spill of root beer back there, and I saw the person closest to it, and I said, "Mason, clean that up!" And he was like, "Clean it up!" And so, handing paper towels, he cleaned it up and everything. And about 20 minutes later, I was walking through there and going, said, "Mason, get in here, clean this up!" And I found out after the fact that actually Trey had spilled and got off scot-free. And
not this time.
Well, he did help some.
Yeah, I tried.
He did help some. But you see what happened?
He's going to jail.
I'm an authority figure that God has put here, and I'm a human, and I make mistakes. And some of you, raise your hand if you can think of a time, either with your brothers and sisters or with people at school, that you've seen somebody gets punished for something that they didn't do. Have you ever seen that? Anybody?
Most of you?
Yeah. Because we have humans in control that make mistakes, and sometimes we get justice, sometimes we get injustice. So here's the question. When that happens to you, and you're thinking, this is so unfair, how do you keep from going nuclear with your anger and just destroying people and saying, this is not right? How do you keep from doing that? There's help for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Go ahead and turn there if you haven't already. And I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we believe in you. We believe in your presence here in this room and in our hearts. And even if we don't feel you, we believe in you. We believe in your word, and we believe in your heart that you love us and you want relationship with us and you want to speak to us. So God, would you open our hearts? Will you speak to us through your word? Will you keep us focused on you? And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would not let us get distracted. Help us to listen to your spirit and be changed by your word. In Jesus' awesome name, we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Who is like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. So notice, if you're an underliner, underline the word wise under wise man, and then wisdom. Wisdom brightens. So he's talking about wisdom here in verse 1, and is he saying it's a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing, right? Now the rest of the verses here go on to say wisdom's good, but it's not good enough to help you solve the puzzle of why we sometimes get justice and sometimes get injustice. Wisdom's good, but it's not going to answer that question for us. It's not going to help us in that way. But one thing does help us. One thing does help us. And the first thing is submission. So out next to verses 2 through 5, I want you to write the word submission. It says, obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Okay? So it's saying obey the king. If you're a servant who made an oath to this king, you need to obey him. Now, we don't have a king. You don't have an earthly king, right? But we all do have authority figures in our life. And what are we supposed to do for those authority figures according to this verse? Obey them. Now notice it doesn't say you have to agree with them. It doesn't say you have to like them. It says you have to obey them. And then look at verse 4. It says, since the king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? You can't say that to a king. You can't question what he's doing because he's the king and you're not. It's not your place. But why is it that we have to submit to this guy? It's because he's been made supreme, right? Who made this king supreme? God, right? I know sometimes the answers are too easy. God put this guy here. God's in control of this guy becoming king. And it's not just that king. Take a look on the screen here at Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay? So who puts people in authority?
God.
Good. Y'all are catching on. Did anyone who ever came into authority, did anyone slip through the cracks and get there on their own devices? How do you know that?
Everyone.
History? See that? No. Look.
Wait, I mean.
Where does it say?
No authority.
The authority that exists.
There is no authority except that which God has established. God's in control of every single one of them. That means that God expects us to obey every single one of them. And it's not even necessarily that we think that this person in authority over us is such a great guy and so worthy of our trust. It's because of something behind that person. It's kind of like whenever Kermit went to see his doctor. Here's the doctor saying, have a seat, Kermit. What I'm about to tell you might come as a big shock.
You mean to tell me that all this time I'd have had a hand?
And he's like, just now realizing. Look, I want you to think about whenever you see authorities in your life telling you to do stuff that you don't like. I want you to realize who's behind that authority. It's God using that person, speaking through that person in your life. And look at verse 2 up here of Romans 13. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So if you rebel against authorities God has put in your life, who are you rebelling against? You're rebelling against God. Have you ever heard the phrase, oh man, that kid just, he has a problem with authority. Ever heard that? Some of you might even think that about yourself and might even say it with kind of a smirk, like, yeah, I have a problem with authority. And almost think it's like funny or cute, but according to this, if you have a problem with authority, you don't have a problem with authority. You have a problem with God. You have a problem submitting to Him and trusting Him to use the people in your life with all of their flaws to carry out what He wants to do. And even if they make mistakes, He might be doing that to teach you something, to draw you closer to Himself through that. They're all put there by God. Okay, a little side note. You tell me, give me some examples of different authorities in your life.
Parents.
Teachers.
Parents, teachers.
Coach.
Elders. Elders.
Principal.
Huh?
Principal.
Principals.
President.
Barack Obama.
Governor.
Parents. Anybody else?
Police officers.
Pastors. Police officers.
Parents.
Parents, yeah, we got that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lincoln.
All these different people. Let me give you another one. Right there. See those guys?
Who's that?
He's a good-looking guy in the hat.
Well, that's terrifying.
I don't know if you guys have thought about it this way, but the leaders that are here leading your small group and sharing the Word of God with you and sharing their life with you, they're your spiritual authorities. God has put them here. You have to ask yourself, look, we needed to get some leaders, and these were the best we could round up, okay? So, we tried our best. I'm just kidding. I love... You guys don't know how much joy these guys bring into my and Kristen's life and our family. And they're here because they love you. You know they don't get paid, right? And you know they put in a lot of time, and they love y'all so much. And God has put them here as your spiritual authorities. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's possible that God sent them here and put it on their heart to want to be a leader? You think God maybe sent them? Think that's possible?
Yep.
You think it's possible that God could speak through them to say things that you need to hear, things that God wants to talk to you, and He might use your leaders to say things to you?
Yep.
So here's what I want to challenge you on. If your leaders say something that stretches you, something that you don't want to hear, don't just blow it off and just say, they don't know what they're talking about. Don't bow up and say, you don't know me. Remember, this might be God speaking through them to you, and humble yourself and listen and let them stretch you. They want you to be fully in love and fully surrendered to Jesus Christ, and they know some things. They've been through some situations that you haven't yet. They're an incredible resource to you and a spiritual authority. Now, this is going to feel kind of weird, and the leaders would hate for me to put this verse up there, but I'm going to put it up there anyway. It's about submitting to your spiritual authorities. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. So the leaders here, in a sense, they have to answer to God for how much you love Jesus and how obedient you are to the Word of God. And that's their heart, and that's what they want for you. So it says, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. A good question to ask yourself sometime is, am I a joy to my small group leader, or am I a burden? When they challenge me on something, do I go, whew, I don't like that, but I'm going to listen, and I'm going to pray about that, and I'm going to trust you, or do you go, are you a joy or are you a burden to them? They're here not because they need someone to control or that they need more friends and they can't relate to people their age or anything. Well, maybe Joe. But the rest of them, they're here because they want to help and to love you. So trust them. Trust God through them. They're as great as they are, and as much as I love them, as much joy as they bring me, they're not perfect. You don't have to trust them, though. You need to trust the God who's coming through them. Does that make sense? They don't have to be perfect, because God is. All right. Now look at verse 5. Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. Okay, what does that mean? If you submit to all of your authorities, does that mean you will be invincible? What do you think?
No.
No. Okay, here's... Listen to what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. What do you think these quotes are there for? No, it's a quote from the Old Testament. Okay? Honor your father and mother. And then he adds a little side note, which is the first commandment with a promise, by the way. Whoa, there's a promise with this one? And here it is. Picks up the quote again. That it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you obey your parents, there's a promise you're going to live longer on earth. if you listen to your parents and you don't go play in the street, and you don't play with guns or run with scissors in your hand, and you don't do drugs, and you don't get drunk all the time, you're probably going to live longer than people who do all those things and don't listen to their parents. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sir. Okay, look at this.
No, don't do it!
I don't believe in bad luck. I believe God is in control. I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious.
It's called semi-stitious. It's semi-stitious.
Okay, look at this. When I have an umbrella, I'm protected from the elements that come down, and I'm safe under here. Do you know that God has blessed you with lots of umbrellas in your life? Your authorities are umbrellas in your life, and if you will stay submitted to them, your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your spiritual authorities, if you will stay submitted to them and listen to them, there is safety for you here. And there is some of that that's physical, like we talked about. If you don't do dumb stuff, drugs and stuff, that they can't hurt you. So there is some protection physically that comes from that, but there's also some spiritual protection. That if God sees you submitting to the authorities in your life, He sees that obedience, and He blesses that, and He honors that. But if you say, forget that, I don't care what my parents say, I don't care what my leader says about this guy, I think he's hot, so I'm going to go do my own thing, then the Lord might say, oh, okay, you've got this figured out, you don't want to go my way? Okay, and He might just move His hand just a little bit and let the consequences of your own choices rain down on you. He might just move that just a little bit. So submitting to the authorities in your life does provide protection. Sometimes this works out great when you're submitting to the authorities in your life. Sometimes it leads to justice in your life. So right out next to the verses 12 and 13, the word justice. Sometimes it does work out great. You submit to authorities and good stuff happens. Listen to verse 12. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with a God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. So what is this saying is generally going to happen to the wicked? Huh? What's generally going to happen to the wicked, according to what I just read? You can look at it again, verse 12 and 13. What's generally going to happen to the wicked?
Justice.
Bad things, right? Generally speaking, the wicked, bad things are going to happen. What does it say is generally going to happen to the good, the God-fearing? Lengthening of days, right? Good things, right? Generally speaking, but as usual in Ecclesiastes, once you think you have something figured out and you go, oh, that's solid, I can stand on that, it just, and he takes it right out from under you and says, meaningless! Ha! So right when you think you know justice comes to good and injustice comes to bad, then he talks about injustice. Next to verses 14 and 15, write the word injustice. There's something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is what?
Meaningless.
Okay. He's saying it's meaningless to trust in earthly justice. You can't count on it. There's no pattern, right? Like we talked about last week. So what do, in this verse, what do the righteous sometimes get? It goes the opposite, right? They get what you would think they shouldn't deserve. It's like Freaky Friday, where they switch places and what should happen to this person happens to this person, what should happen to this person happens to this person. Is this fair?
No.
No, it does, sure makes you want to go, this is so unfair. And what are we tempted to do in that moment? When something happens to us that is opposite and we have to get punished for something we didn't do, what are we tempted to do in that moment?
Rage.
Huh?
Blame it on God.
Blame it on God. What else? Somebody said rage. What else?
Go ballistic.
Go ballistic.
Try to, like, take it into your own hands, I guess.
Take it into your own hands and try to fix things, try to manipulate things, try to promote yourself, and we don't have to do that. God sees. God knows. So, all you can do down here on planet Earth, the Solomon is saying, is just look for joy in the small stuff, because you're not going to find satisfaction in these big concepts of justice. So he says in verse 15, and this should sound familiar, "So I command the enjoyment of life, because there's nothing better for a man under the sun." Remember, he's got that blinder like this. He's not talking about anything in heaven. He's just saying on earth, if God and Jesus don't exist on earth, he says there's nothing better to do. Where was I? Nothing better to do than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work, and all the days of his life God has given him under the sun. So he's saying, give up on joy from earthly justice. It's not going to happen. And now his conclusion. Remember in verse 1 where he started out by saying, hey, wisdom's good, but it's not going to help you figure out justice and injustice and when one of them comes. So really what it is, it's an enigma. Right next to the word 17, verse 17, write the word enigma. E-N-I-G-M-A. That's a mystery. It's something that you can't solve, can't figure out. And he's saying, want to figure out why God gives justice sometimes and injustice at others? If you want to figure that out, good luck. You're not going to find out. You can't solve this problem. So he says in verse 17, then I saw all that God has done, meaning all the justice and the injustice. And he says, no one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. Underline the phrase, no one can comprehend. And then at the end of verse 17, cannot really comprehend it. What's another word for comprehend?
Understand.
Understand. You're not going to be able to fully understand why God gives justice and injustice sometimes on planet Earth. We're not going to be able to figure out that process. We can't trust that process. We've got to trust God and trust His heart. So, where do we go from here? I want us to talk about, what do we know about God? What's the theology? What do we know about God? First of all, is God just? You know what I mean by that? Justice. Is God just? What do you think? God is just. Sometimes it looks like stuff happens on planet Earth and we're like, it makes us doubt that. But what's true? He is just. Okay? Second question, is God in control? Yeah, he's in control. Sometimes when injustice happens, we're like, is God even watching what's happening? Yes, he's in control. So then how come all this injustice happens? If he's just and he's in control, why does all this bad stuff happen? Why does all the injustice happen? Here's why. Here's the glorious truth. God uses imperfect people. Think about David. He was an authority, King David. Did he have some mistakes?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Think about Samson, the great deliverer of Israel. Did he have some mistakes?
Yep.
Yeah, he sure did. What about Obama? Has he ever made any mistakes? Okay, quick little side note here. Who's in control of... Who's ultimately in control of how Obama got into the presidency?
God.
God's in control of that. Can I tell you, please don't become one of those people that says, oh, did you hear what Obama did this time? I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't have such small faith. God is still in control. Okay? What about Nebuchadnezzar? He did some bad things. He took God's people and drug them away into captivity. And you know what God said about Nebuchadnezzar? He's my servant. He's mine. God can use messed up people to do stuff. Watch your Facebook rants, please. When you grow up and get a little more interested in politics, don't be that guy that blasts everybody who's not a Republican. Because a lot of people look at Facebook and they think Christians are narrow-minded idiots. Because we know what they're against, but we have no idea what they're for. Give some rants about Jesus and how much you love him. Post some stuff about that. Okay, God uses messed up people, and what that leads to is guess who else he uses? You and me. He uses us. That's such great news that there's messed up people in leadership. That means there's a chance for us to have people that we get to pour into and share our lives with. There's hope. So let me make a suggestion. The next time something goes crazy in your life and you think, this is so unfair, don't ask the question why. Ask the question who. Because you know who's in control. God's in control. I don't want you to even think that you have to trust them. You have to trust the God who's behind them. Look, what are these? Okay, they have some freedom, right? But these are connected to the power grid up here, and they can only go so far, and they can't go off-roading. The people that God puts in authority have a limited range of mobility, and God's in control of all of it. So even if they make mistakes, it's okay. You don't have to trust them. You just have to trust the God who's in control. Does that make sense? Yeah, this guy cracks me up. So next time you see injustice, don't freak out. And you might say, look, I don't have it in me. I've tried not to freak out, but I just go off every time and I get angry. I don't have it in me. We need strength from somewhere else outside of us, guys. Once upon a time, there was a group of people who were held captive by an oppressive dictator who was evil. There was a guy who came from a distant land and came and rescued those people. He came to rescue them. And guess what? That people he came to save, the very people he came to save, took him captive, mocked him, beat him, and they were in the process of killing him. And guess what this guy did? When he was in the process of being killed by the people he came to save, he didn't say, this is so unfair, and then just go off swinging and fighting people. You know what this guy? This guy said something, and we haven't recorded what this man said. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That needs to be our heart, and that needs to be our attitude. When people make mistakes in leadership over you, don't freak out. God's still in control. Trust that God's bigger than the mistakes of people in authority over us. When things seem completely unfair, when humans seem completely untrustworthy, you can still trust God. Lord Jesus, help us to remember that. Help us to always trust you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to small groups.